You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right. I think we're on. Are we on?
We're doing the best we can do.
Well, let's just go ahead and be on then.
All right.
Everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Wayne Fritz there. You were looking like Morticia Adams there with the thing in the background. Glad you got that back up.
Well, I'm still trying to work on getting the green thing straight.
Well, we'll figure that out here.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to play something for our I'll play the intro. You've seen this, Wayne. Our listeners haven't seen it, but I want to play it real quick. This is Bruce Buffer, the lead announcer from UFC, and he has a little inspirational message. So here we go. See what this looks like.
Now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. It's ours, out of the maroon corner, and Aggie, with 30 years experience, coming out of Fort Worth, Texas, presenting Bruce W. Cameron. And introducing next, out of the blue corner, he is the undisputed sales champion of the ages, from Colleyville, Texas, presenting Wayne Fritz.
All right. And that's Bruce Buffer. He always wears a nice jacket. Look at that. He's always very dapper, Wayne.
Oh, that's awesome.
Much like yourself. And there that is. So,
what an introduction he gave there. That's wild. That is just wild.
Our producer and station owner told me that we would have no listeners. So if we ran that every week, so we'll just run it here and there.
Okay, it's fun. It's fun though. It's fun.
Especially when we get a UFC fighter on, and we're going to have some of those on real soon, as a matter of fact. So I talked to a gentleman. He's a UFC fighter. He's going to come on the show, and he wanted to do a podcast where he reviewed his own fights. You know what I mean? Where he was talking to somebody, and he was reviewing his fight. So I thought, man, that'd be great, because that way you hear it from the fighter's perspective.
Yes.
Well, this is what he was doing when he was pounding me here, and this is what I was doing when I was getting him there. So I think that's he's a good guy. He's out of Phoenix, and we'll hopefully see him here either next week or for sure the week after. We got some fun things lined up. So so how was your week, Wayne? What else going on over there?
My week's been good. There's a lot going on with it's interesting in the world today. Our business in sales, I think a lot of businesses are the same way. It's so good that there's a supply challenge because of the COVID stuff. I mean, if I wanted to ship a container, I would a 40-foot high top container will hold 400 sets. Average.
Okay.
So I'd order a container for the factory, and they would drop it tomorrow or the next day. And now to get a container just dropped at the factory could be a month, because they can't even find containers. So it's a wild, wild world we're living in. And then the supply chain from all the OEM stuff, all the way backs up to everything. Cardboard, steel, just everything. I mean, we could run three shifts, but we don't have the raw material. So it's pretty wild, and we're having to deal with some of that. Those can be good problems, or they could be bad problems. So
I remember back in the day, you'd have to help some of those countries. You'd have to help get those boxes out of customs and make an extra contribution to the dictator or whatever.
Well, I hate to say that, but that's that is so true.
Speculation. That never happens.
It never happens.
Happens yeah. every time you do business with a dictator. But anyway, but seriously. Yeah,
only every time you do business with a dictator.
Not a dictator. But, I've been on a tear. I've been reading a lot of books recently. And so when I finish them, I always like to impart one. And this one, Money Getting by P.T. Barnum.
I couldn't Money. Believe it.
Yeah, it's a short book. I would recommend it to all our listeners out there. You know, as we know, P.T. Barnum, a lot of slogans. This is a guy, you know, obviously the Barnum and Bailey Circus, but this is a guy who we should know finished his life as a Christian and really, really turned things around for himself morally, ethically, chemically, and sanctifiedly or whatever. So, which was shocking to me because I had read the book with full intention that this guy was, you know, was on the broad road the whole day, you know what I mean? There's some nuggets in here I did want to share with our listeners, and we can kind of bat them around if you like.
Sure. I think, I saw the preview of that night.
Yeah.
You know, let's do. It's awesome. There's some good points there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with the first one because I think the first one is huge and it's easier said than done. The first one is get your best vocation. Get your best vocation. And here's what Barnum is saying about this, okay? And look, now I do career testing and I do the strong interest inventory and I do a lot of other kind of assessment stuff with this, but if your vocation is something that you're not really cut out to do, don't do it. So he was talking about a guy who would have been a great farmer, but his dad made him be a watchmaker or a watch repairman. And he, you know, because that's how it was. You inherited your dad's business and that was that. But God, he was miserable. And he talked about this almost suicidal watchmaker because he was actually cut out and wired and you know what I mean?
If we in our business, we say, find your passion.
Find your passion. Find your passion.
Because it should be your vocation.
And when you go against that, when you go against that, passion, there's a price to pay or there's consequences there. I always think about myself a little bit, Wayne. My dad owned three advertising agencies and I got some good training working for him as an account executive, went into psychology, prison work and stuff. But now that I'm back out, I have a little bit more of a renewed appreciation for some of the business stuff he caught me, or not caught me, but taught me now that I run a small business. So it's kind of interesting to see how I'm more passionate about business matters, certainly than I was in my 20s and 30s. So anyhow.
Well, it's funny. I think if we all check our younger years, childhood and our teens, right around that area, sometimes it changes what our passion is, but mm-hmm. I always wanted to be a farmer. I just always had a passion for the dirt and the farm. And I mean, I used to buck bales for a penny a bale when I was a young man, and that was hot, sweaty work. But something about hot, sweaty work I liked, working with your hands and watching things grow and doing all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in high school, Bruce, I don't know in your high school if you all had this, but we had something called junior achievement.
Oh yeah, JA. We had.
Yeah, did you really? You don't hear about it.
I was in JA.
Man, I tell you, they should still have that today.
They do.
We formed because we formed a company. We made a product and we went out and sold it, and that kind of caught my attention a little bit too, and that really taught me something. And I had some very good people in my life along the way, sprinkled. That brought good things to me, you know, just because of association, changing environment, different things like that. So your passions can change. But when you find it, that makes all the difference in the world. You never work a day in your life.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And the funny story about Junior Achievement is in Houston, we made coasters out of the bottom was masonite and the top was aspenite. And we'd cut holes in the aspenite and we made these square coasters with little dowels. And they were called Navco coasters. and we'd sell these things, man. And it sounds ridiculous, but you know, we had production, we had manufacturing, we had distribution, we had sales. And you know, it didn't matter what it was you're selling. You had to go through the business.
Yes. What was it? JA was a great teaching tool for everybody. I'm glad to hear it's still around. I haven't heard much about it, and it's just awesome. We built a little deal that had the wires that you could pull apart like this, and that ball would roll down, and you drop it in a hole for points. It was a game. But you're right.
Oh, wow.
You had the marketing, you had the production, you had sales, you had accounting, you had every department that you would have, and it was a company. And yes. It was great.
Now, the second one Barnum talks about is get your best location. Now, obviously, this is, you know, a century later or whatever, but, you know, we have the internet and the ability, supply chain and logistics like never he could imagine, but get the best location. And look, I'm going to go with that. At my business pre-COVID was pretty, and is still, reliant on office visits, in-person office visits as a coach, as a consultant. And I have two locations, and those are in, you know, Southlake and Highland Park, but, you know, but there's a reason why I'm in Southlake and Highland Park, right? I mean, there's a reason why you live where you live, and I live where I, you know, there's reasons. And so those locations have served me well. And so what are your thoughts on location?
Well, Bruce, you know, there was a guy named Willie Sutton. If you ever heard that name, he was a very famous bank robber. Mm. And legend has it that he was asked, Willie, why do you rob banks? And his simple answer was, because that's where the money is. That has to do with location.
That's right.
So, but it is true.
Right.
So location is very important with your business. When you look at where all the CVS, Walgreens, I mean, where they get on opposite corners. I mean, that's location means a lot.
Well, it was Eckerd Drugs before that, right? It was Eckerd,
yes.
Eckerd versus Walgreens. CVS bought Eckerd. And man, they were
all kinds of different bigger companies, but they got bought up.
Yeah, they all got bought up. But like you said, location for those as well. Okay, get the best location. The next one is avoiding debt. And, you know, this is a problem for many small business operators and owners, that they'll overextend themselves, maybe in the front end, getting the business started or whatever, and the clientele isn't there. The revenue isn't coming in, and now you have a bank note that you're going to have to be paying on. And my business grew slowly but surely. I invested at first in the Psychology Today website and basic marketing, and then once the revenue came in, reinvested into the company. Didn't take a salary or didn't hardly take any money for several years to reinvest in the company. So what do you think about that, Wayne, about avoiding debt?
Always avoid debt. You know, if you're going to, if you just have to avoid debt. I mean, you really do. You know what it meant, neither a borrower nor lender be. I mean, that can bury you faster than anything. I'm very fortunate in our business we can avoid that. I mean, really, on our business, you can start with a shoestring. We don't need an office to start. But that's the goal, is to get your office, and you have a time limit. But, you know, in that time limit, you can build your fortune to get your office, or your income to pay for an office.
Right.
And you, that's how you have to do stuff. You just, we always talk to people when they become a dealer in our business, don't invest, don't buy nice cars and big houses your first 5 years.
Correct. You
know, invest in your business,
Absolutely.
And that's the truth.
Absolutely. So that's, those are good things. You know, there also, I guess we'll get to it. We'll get to that. There's another point he makes about don't loan anybody any money, if at all possible, but he has good reasons for that. But the next, persevere, okay, persevere, and, you know, stay with it. You know, some people kind of throw in the towel sooner than they, if they would have just hung in there a little bit longer, made some minor changes, they would have been a success. So persevere, and man, you know,
you have to, you know, because our business, well, any business has so many uphill challenges in the beginning. You know, most businesses go out of business within the first 5 years, the biggest majority, because they don't and sometimes that victory can just be around the corner. A lady that trained me in the business didn't even start till she was 55. She was just a full-time housewife, mother and a housewife before that, which is enough in itself, a full-time job. But for she sure. started, and she always said, she, when she would give her testimony or talk about how she started, she dedicated 1 year. She committed to 1 year in the business. Win, lose, or draw. And that always stuck with me, too. And today, I read something about Napoleon Hill said that most people leave our business, and our business is sales. One of three reasons. One is family, friends, and neighbors, because they all talk negative. They'll tell you, you can't do that, and that's ridiculous, and all that kind of stuff. So you've got to persevere. And then I was just doing a sales training class and read an article before that, and I spoke up on it, that you can't consider you failed until you've tried it a minimum of 100 times. That says a lot. You can't consider yourself like a failure unless you've tried it a minimum of 100 times. So persevere is in everything we deal with. Persevere is in the Bible. Persevere is in everything we deal with.
Exactly. You know, I had a lot of naysayers as well. Oh, you're going to open up a private office. You're not going to get on insurance panels. You're going to be private pay. Who do you think you're kidding? Who's going to come in to see you? Who's going to see you? And I remember before I started this, Wayne, before I started this, I was working in the federal prison system, and my kids were young, what you got going on up there, man?
Well, that darn net started falling around the one I tried to take down.
But anyway, kids were young, anyway, long story short, we needed more money. And so I was a tutor for the Carroll Independent School District. I was on the tutoring list, Wayne, and I would go from house to house tutoring people. And I fashioned myself as a math tutor all the way through high school. And I was getting a bunch of these fifth and sixth graders, and I remember people saying, why do you think you're a math tutor? I said, look, all I got to do is be smarter than a kid. I mean, I can teach, you know, teach this kid what I know to do, you know, and it worked. It was just fine. And then I started noticing family dynamics, and that led to me getting my counseling license. So it was funny, you know, my humbling beginnings as a tutor, but I mean, it exposed me to these families thinking, yeah, I think there's a lot more I could do here beside math. Anyway, fun stuff.
It's funny where it can lead us.
Yeah,
it's funny. But I'll tell you what, I hate to bring this up, but when you said all you have to do is be smarter than the kids, I would not have been a good math teacher for the kids, even. holy mackerel. I think I flunked a lot of stuff on, what was it? Jeff Foxworthy had that show one time about, are you smarter than a third grader?
Fifth grader. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went, no. Sometimes I was like, no.
Well, just in the math department. But yeah, some of that other stuff that kind of got me for sure. Anyway, so the next one is do with all your might. And that really goes well with the perseverance, right? Like you said, all your might. Try it 100 times before you consider it a failure. I mean, golly, Wayne, I mean, during COVID, some of my consulting was going almost around the clock, you know, telephonically. I mean, people were up in arms. And so I was blown and going, you know, some days, you know, 16 hour days.
I tried to catch you in the past before just to have lunch, even lunch is laid out.
Forget about it.
8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, you were still, you had an appointment.
I call you on my way home. Yeah, wait. Hey, I'm trying to go to bed. I'm like, I just got off.
Yeah.
And I'm not working in a hospital or a jail. I just got off the, got out of the office. Yeah. But no, but we're talking for the younger or the, you know, you're in transition, really, you know, do this with all your might. And think about this. If you know this is your vocation and it's a beautiful fit for you and you're persevering and you're really cut out to do this, you know, the success, it'll come, but you got to go out and get it. You got to work and it won't be handed to you. It will not be handed to you. But if you do it with all your might. So yeah. All right. This next one is, don't be too visionary. Oh my gosh, that's all. And look, I'm going to sound like an old man here. I'm going to get some hate mail. So, and I am the parent of a 24 and a 20-year-old. So I can say this with authority. Not so much my own kids, just because, you know, some of my values are drilled into their head, but a lot of their friends. Man, everybody's this visionary, you know, everybody's talking about, man, you know, this and that. And it's like smoke. You can see it. You can smell it, but you can't touch it. Right. So you got all these visionary people, you know, blowing this smoke. And yet, where's this smoke blower 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? Where is this? Yeah. You know, where is he now? Man, he's gone. He never really existed. He didn't have a platform. He didn't have a structure, or she, for that matter. And there's more, get my pronouns right here, everybody. There's more he smoke blowers. A lot of the ladies I've been seeing, they've been kind of, ladies are more security minded, and they are pretty good, I think, about establishing business foundations. Some of the guys kind of skip over that. But yeah, you get to be too much of a visionary, and... You know,
well, having a vision is good. It should be a simple vision. And having a vision is good because it's kind of like the baskets on a basketball court. You got to have a goal. I kind of reduce vision to a goal. You can have your short term, mid term, and long term goals, but you can't just go out there and be wild and nuts. You know, in my business, and I think, I'm going to try to compare it to your business, if you don't mind. Just see if it fits.
Give it a whirl.
In my business, I preach something called the square.
Oh, yeah.
And the most important thing we can ever do when we wake up in the morning, if we're in business, in my business, is to find people, is to book, is to get referrals. Well, in your business, you can have an office, but if you don't have anybody coming in, you don't have a business. So you're looking for people somehow. We won't talk about the house, but you're looking for some people. And then the second part of the square is building. In other words, it's if you're going to grow and you want to have more offices, you need people to man those offices or to female those offices or whatever you want to say. But then you have to train. Once that happens, look at what you did with me. You took me. And you got me involved in life coaching. Yeah, so you were training me. I mean, just look at that. So there, that fits the square. And the last thing is, if you do those three things properly and with a passion, you will get the sale, so to speak. You'll get what you're looking for. And so I think it fits in any business. It's pretty cool. I never have taken it outside of our business, but yeah, it would be any business. You got to have people.
Got to have people. Mm-hmm. So no, it's a great point. I mean, if I don't have people, I'm in a similar thing. It's a great comparison because I give people something a little different than what you're giving them, but I am giving them a service. That's for sure. They are getting a service. So yeah. That's a great foundational tool, you know, and like I said, and that, you know, and I'll straighten the record. I mean, you know, you had everything you ever needed to be the coach. You just needed some of the coach training and the credential, but what a natural. We're both naturals, just right. We're both different naturals, you know what I mean? We're absolute naturals.
Yeah,
but we're kind of like first cousins, just little.
Yes,
we share some stuff, but we're different as well. Okay, the next one is be systematic. I like that, man. I came from a prison environment. Boy, howdy, everything was systematic. We had census count, body count. This happened at this time. Grills opened at 10 minutes before the hour. You could move in the hallway. You had chow time. We had all kinds of good structure there in prison. And it's very...
Talk about the same thing.
Say what?
In sales, we need system and structures.
Let's hear about the system and structures on your end.
Well, on our end, if you're going to be in our business, you need to have you're the dealer, you're the boss, so you're the best at everything, of course. But you need to have an administrator so they can do some of this stuff to release you to do that square, because the square is what earns money. The square is what the business. So you need an administrator. You need a cooking show coordinator. You need a bookkeeper. You got to know your numbers. There's five departments that, as you grow, you need those five departments. And structure, you have to have policies, but you want to make it not barriers. You want to make policies where it gives people the opportunity to make business easy. Mm-hmm. But it's like you said something about neither, or we talked about loaning and borrowing. In my policy, I learned this from my dealer, back in the 70s. He had a little deal in there. It said, I went and made signed an agreement with the bank. And I promised them, or they promised me, it's in writing, that they would not sell cookware. And I, in turn, promised them that I would not loan money. So if you need money, go see the bank. If you need cookware, come see me. Because every salesperson needs money. So that he cut that out before it ever came up.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Sure does. I tell you what. Well, that's good that y'all have those systems as well. The next one is keep informed. And Barnum, you know, really was a big fan of reading the newspaper, you know what I mean? And boy, back in the day, that was where it was at. That's how you got your information. And actually, there probably wasn't a lot of fake news out then as today, but couldn't help myself there. But staying informed, you know, and that's why in my area, we have continuing education credits. We go back, you know, for continuing education to make sure that we're abreast of, you know, the best practices and what we're doing and those things. And so we do that. How do y'all keep informed on y'all side?
Well, several ways. One is we have meetings among all of us, because in my business, the problems happen in the field,
right?
And the solutions happen in the field. Really, that's people on corporate. They just guide the ship. That's all. I mean, seriously, the real deal. If you don't put on if you don't put on an apron and get in the field, you're not worth much. So. So we share, and you said it, we share best practices, what's working. Mm-hmm. And then, we also get, you know, we're partners with the American Diabetes Association, some heart associations, and so we keep abreast of that. We have a marketing department that keeps abreast of the internet, you know, the webs, and how to get with people. So we have all the systems and structures in the corporate life. And we've got something called SMU, which is Salamaster University, but it's simply an app, and it's a training app, and everything can go on there. But it's filtered. It has to be, you know, it's got to be true. And it is checked. It is fact-checked before it ever is put up there. So, but that's a training platform that 24/7, and it's just unbelievable. It has everything.
Man. That sounds good, and that way, and that can be a vehicle by which corporate communicates to the field seamlessly. Absolutely. And immediately, I know there has to be some bureaucracy as that flows down, but that's I can see that being a very useful tool.
We have three times a week we have what we call an ICE called Inspire. Challenge, educate, and a guest each day that is from the field, and they might be a new person giving a testimony on how they got started, or they might be somewhere through the ranks that they just give testimonies and they give little tips. And before that is uploaded onto SMU, that is checked by the legal department.
Oh, that's good.
You can't make claims that aren't true, and so that everything is checked, but. So everything on there is clean, but it's motivating. It's just, you know, out of the mouth of babes sometimes come the greatest things. And you've got to be aware of all that. So I think people are more and more with that everywhere, not just in the company I have been associated with.
Have there been changes in the materials of the wear? I would think you guys would have to have chemists and scientists that... Yeah. Would make lighter, stronger. I know, boy, this is going to be sacrilegious, but I've told this once before, and we can't, you know, I'd have that induction cooktop that reads the,
yeah.
And it reads the magnetic property. Yeah. Yeah. And then it shoots, you know, it can boil water through your hand type of thing. Where am I going with that? Oh, that's where I'm going. So over the years, I've noticed that the material has changed. It's a little bit lighter. You know, when I first bought that induction cooktop 10 years ago, shoot, I had to be like a caveman, get that thing put on there. And now I've noticed there have been some subsequent purchases. Don't worry. It was like at Kohl's, so don't panic. Anyway, the stuff was light. I know. It's sacrilegious, folks. I'm sorry. I'm the worst co-host. Anyway, yes, I know. Sorry. Long story short is I'm asking, do you guys have the same kind of material science team that's looking for, you know, denser, has the materials changed in the last 10 or so years with what you guys are selling?
Very slightly. And here's why with ours, believe it or not, Bruce, and that's a great, I hadn't thought of that in a long time, but believe it or not, when induction was just on the horizon, we changed a core, one of our cores in our cookware.
Okay.
So that it would be magnetic.
Okay.
Because it wasn't.
Right.
And we did it when induction was just on the horizon and people were just starting to talk about it. No one had it much. You couldn't find an induction range to save your behind. But now they're, and so it's always worked on it. And we've done some changes with our outside metal, but we've always had that indoor conductivity for that magnet. And it's, but it's light. It doesn't have to be a lot. We had the light stuff years ago. I had induction range in my previous house. I couldn't get it in this one. But I love that stuff. And it is slicker than greased owl manure.
It is what it is. It is what it is. It's fine. It's fine.
Wait till you see Salad Master work on it.
You've overcome. That was one of the objections. Remember that? Like,
yeah.
Family.
You'll wake up. You'll be skipping down, holding Jesus' hand, skipping down the street. You just won't believe it.
Woo! Oh, man. How do we get there, boy? I tell you. But that's good that we keep informed. Now, this next one, real important, is don't loan people money. Now, Barnum was pretty strict on this because a lot of the people in Barnum's day were kind of slippery characters, didn't have a lot to show for it. You know, oh, I have this horse. I mean, some of the stuff that you know, it's almost like the old horse trading type of stuff. But I'm telling you, folks, and I know it's probably happened to you, but, you know, through social media and through some other things and other associations, I think there have been people approach me and they think I'm somebody that I'm not, and they're asking me for money. Okay. I'm going to go on record. I think he'll be fine. I know Mark Cuban's brother, Brian. I know Brian for years, and he's an author, a recovery advocate, and I've known Brian for years. But that poor guy, you can only imagine the people, you know, hey, man, can you give me some Mavericks tickets? Or, hey, man, can you give me on Shark Tank? And the poor guy's just inundated, right? But just because an assumption, just because he's his brother, therefore, you must have access to the throne. That's not the case. You know, and just because whatever, you see me in certain things or certain areas doesn't mean that, you know, I have tens of thousands of dollars laying around in coffee cans just to give willy-nilly to people. So anyway.
Well, Bruce, if we fast forward to today, we still have those challenges that PT had. They're just more open, but they're still slicky boys. That's what I grew up calling them, slicky boy. And they've got one hand in shaking your hand, the other hand in your wallet. And they're all from day one, they're always that way, charlatans. And we have to be careful. You just have to be careful. As a matter of fact, I made those mistakes early in my life. Might as well be honest. I think we're human. And
that's right.
But what I learned to do was I just learned not to help people unless I knew I was giving it away.
Right.
One of the negatives that comes with a loan is you ain't going to get it back as a rule. Right. You know, so.
Go ahead.
As a rule. I mean, sometimes you will, sometimes you won't. So you might as well give it away.
Yeah. I mean, I have the lovely opportunity to drive down Northwest Highway once a week, all the way from 114 all the way past the toll road. And for our viewers at home that don't know what that means, oh boy, that means urban. Yeah. Ape, construction, strip clubs, skid row, more strip clubs, prostitution, then back into urban society. So on one of my stoplights, you know, and I had somebody with me, and, you know, I drive a decent car, whatever, and there's this guy at the stoplight, and, you know, he's kind of one of my favorites, but I really like him anyway. But anyway, he hobbles on up to the car and everything. And I give him, I think I gave him like $2 or $3, $2 or $3. And he's looking at me and he's like, I'm not going to spend it on any alcohol, boss. I promise. Hey man, you know, I'm just giving this money to you as a free gift. Whatever you do with it is up to you. And this person, I can't believe you gave to that homeless guy. I'm like, why? You know, I mean, that could make the difference for that person, you know? Well, you know, they're just going to spend it on booze or drugs. I don't know they're going to spend it on booze or drugs. You see what I mean? I gave to that man freely. And, you know, between him and God is what he does with that money. And so anyway.
That's the way. But that's, I think, and that's the way we're supposed to be, I believe. Right. I've learned to accept and believe that. And you're right. It's up to between that person and God what to do with that money.
Exactly. It's not my job to judge.
It leaves our hand, it's not ours anymore.
Boy, so much truth. When it leaves our hands, not there. Woo!
Yep.
Yes, sir. I just paid 2 college tuitions this week. So that's
it's not yours anymore.
Well, that one just hit home. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go get some PTSD treatment after it's over. Next one that Barnum talked about is advertise your business, and that's very important. It's, you know, I'll go real quick. It was important for me to get on some of the, you know, have a website. Psychology Today. I had the opportunity to write for other magazines and publications and get a backlink. This show has been, I'm not going to lie, a fantastic vehicle for my business. There's a lot of backlinks, a lot of activity. It indexes well on SEO. We're on Apple Podcast. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on LA Talk Radio, of course. Thank you, Sam. We love being here. You're the man and the host. Thank you so much.
Thank you, 5 years.
So, but make no mistake about it. And that's brand recognition. You know, I mean, why would two Texas boys be on LA Talk Radio? Well, because Texas is the 8th largest market and LA is the number one market. That's why. So, I mean, and that was my vision, Wayne, being here and haven't left ever since, because it has, you know, of course, Sam and formerly Ronan, you know, great people. I mean, make no mistake about it, but it is what it is. And it's very well run. And it's the little podcast that could, folks, that's us. So,
well, I'll tell you, man, boy, you talk about somebody that's a baby. It's taken me a little bit to understand how this all works. It's a little different than a Zoom call. So, I like this. And I'm just a baby with it, but I'll get better and better.
Oh, you're doing fine. So how do y'all advertise, Wayne? What do y'all do on y'all's end?
Yeah, our main advertising method is referral. Mm. I mean, we do home shows, garden shows, state fairs, rodeos. You know, we do all that. We have booths, but it's and listen, we even have NDA, which is Neighborhood Direct Approach. Now, I want you to listen to this. I mean, I never had to do this because I was very fortunate that I developed relationships on my shows and just got bookings from bookings from bookings from bookings. But when I first came on staff, my main job was to go around and teach people how to neighborhood direct approach. And that means going and knocking on a door. It's like the story said, went to a door, knocked on a door. I went with another guy. This is a story. This is not the truth. But I went up, and he took me, showed me how to knock doors. And this lady came to the door, and she was meaner than a striped snake. And she slammed the door on us, and he grabbed my arm. He said, "Come with me, Wayne." We ran around to the back of the house, and he knocked on the back door. And, man, you could hear the steps coming through the house. Boom, boom, boom. And she flung open that back door, and before she could say a word, Alan looked up at her, held his hands up, and he says, "Excuse me, ma'am, all I'm hoping is you're not as mean as that old woman that answered the front door." And he just got the biggest kick out of it. No, we don't do that kind of stuff. But what we did do, and what I was and is still very effective, is we put an apron on. Okay, that's our uniform. Put an apron. We would have salads pre-made. I mean, not chopped up, but a couple of wedges of cabbage and some cheese and some carrots and some celery and a little bit of this and that. And it'd all be in a nice bag, a baggie, see-through. And then we would knock on the door, and there's a method you use, and you'd step back. And when they answered the door, you'd hold that bag up, and you'd say, "Hi, don't get your gun out. We're not selling anything. My name is Wayne Fritz, and I'm with the company, and we're out giving away free salads. Does your family like salads?" That's a yes or no question, which is weird because we don't like to answer yes or no, but it's designed to be yes or no. So we say, "Do you like salads?" They would say yes, and we'd start going on. If they would say no, we just say thank you and turn and walk away. Because 9 times out of 10, when you turn and walk away, you get about halfway down the sidewalk or the driveway, and they'll say, "Wait a minute, what are you doing anyway?" They can't stand not knowing. So
right.
It gives you an opportunity to tell them what you know. Well, when they say yes, you start to say, "Well, we just give away a free salad. Takes about 3 minutes to cut it up fresh. And we just need you to furnish a bowl about this big," and you start moving towards the door. And you go in the and you do your, and you're not selling anything. You're not, I'm not allowed to sell you anything, Bruce. We're just out giving these away. Company gave me 10 to give away. I've already given away 7. I got 3 left. If they gave you one, would you eat it? You don't have to memorize a whole lot, just the same thing.
You know, man.
So yep. That way is still effective. But here's the ticket. When you say advertising, when you have to go out and confront people or be in front of people, it makes people nervous.
Right.
They get afraid. So I traveled all over the world doing this. I really did in my early days. And every time I land, and I'll never forget that Malaysia, I don't know why it comes to my mind.
We got less than a minute.
I'll get 10 minutes. Okay. So the guy checks me at the airport at midnight. He says, Wayne, that salad cutting really is good. It must work everywhere. But he said it won't work here. Everybody said that, but it worked everywhere.
Well, man, that is a good technique. Now, y'all don't have to ride bicycles or anything with the aprons, do you?
Well, no.
I'm kidding. Little joke.
Little white shirts. I know where you're going. That's funny.
That's a good technique. Well, you know what? We need to wrap it up for today, though, man. A couple of other things we want to do is be charitable, be polite to our customers, and don't run our mouth. Don't blab. So maybe we'll cover that.
Next week, put those 3 down because I think those are important.
Yeah, they are important. All right. Well, folks, that was another fantastic show here today on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Come by our social media platforms on Facebook, the Concierge Coaches Show, or Instagram, Concierge Coaches. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Wayne, I know you have an email you like to share.
Yes, it's wayne_515@yahoo.com.
Okay, then. Well, until next week, we'll see everybody then. And have a blessed week and stay safe. And we'll see you here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
We're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz only on LA Talk Radio.